Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, NRCs are areas of special, they're areas of conservation. Yet in those areas, thousands of protected marine animals are dying in what's known as tangle nets, which would make you wonder about enforcement. Padraig Gorrity is an environmental campaigner. Padraig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
And so could you describe for us what kind of creatures are being caught up in these nets?
Yeah, so these are just nets set from small boats. We're not talking super trawlers here or anything. And they're weighed onto the bottom of the sea for anything up to a week and a half. And the fishermen down in Kerry, in particular, set the nets to catch a creature called a crawfish, or sometimes called a crayfish. And they look a little bit like a lobster. They don't have the big pincers, but they're very similar otherwise. And they're a very valuable species for the fishermen. But unfortunately, while the net is sitting at the bottom of the sea, all kinds of other things are wandering around or swimming around, and they're getting caught up as well. If you have a fish that gets caught in it, it's a tempting prospect for a seal. So this report from the Marine Institute that was published recently showed that thousands of protected and rare species from different kinds of sharks and rays to seals and dolphins are being caught up and drowning in these nets.
Yeah. Now, has this been going on for a long time?
Decades, Sean. This was first, going back to the 1980s when these nets were brought in because the fishermen used to catch the crawfish using pots, which is a much lower impact type of gear. And when the nets were brought in, the local TDs down in Kerry were up in arms about it because they said it was going to devastate the fishery. And that has come to pass. So it's not for want of reports that nothing has happened, because this has been well documented now for a very long time.
Yeah. So does that mean that like protected areas, it's just a box ticking thing, that they just they're only protected on paper?
Exactly that. And this is the tragedy of our biodiversity crisis, Sean, because we have so many of these areas that have been drawn on maps now since the 1990s, and no measures have come in to manage them or to provide alternatives to fishermen or to help them adapt. And this is really bad news for the fishermen as well, because there's effectively nothing left in the sea for them to catch. And they're very worried now that if these nets are banned, which I think they should be, but that will leave them then with nothing to fish. So we should also say that one of these areas down around the Blasket Islands is a national park. And 2 years ago, a rake of ministers went down and there was a big announcement about how fantastic this was going to be. And now we know that these nets are being set in the national park and it's drowning an awful lot of the seals.
Oh, it drowns them. That's how they die.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is there an alternative to tangle nets?
Oh, yes, exactly. And the thing about it is the fishermen for generations were using pots. Now, the problem with for the fishermen at the moment is that there's so little left to catch. They have seen herring and mackerel and salmon and bass and all kinds of other fish just disappear off their list. And it means for them now that if they were to stop netting, you wouldn't get the same catch with the pots, and there's nothing else for them to catch. So it's a kind of a crisis situation, not only for the biodiversity, but also for the fishermen. I mean, there are alternatives, but it does require people, particularly in the Department of Agriculture, to come up with a new plan that can protect both the biodiversity and the fishermen's livelihoods.
Yeah, now, and just to repeat that point, these aren't super trawlers or you know, big conglomerates or anything. These are just single boat outfits.
No, and so much of our fishing industry is based offshore, and there's boats from different European countries. We're talking about very small boats here that are inshore. We don't have competition from the Spanish or the French or anything like that, and they're using these nets. Which, you know, the boats themselves should be low impact. I mean, most of the fishing boats in Ireland are these small boats. They're not these giant factory trawlers. And it's a very important part of our culture and heritage, I would say, and people want to go on eating seafood. But, I mean, I think the mismanagement of this area has been so abject over the years that we've reached this crisis point now, which is tragic, I think, for everyone concerned.
Yeah, and just to say with with the fishing people, there's only one fish left that they can fish. That's these crayfish.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the irony. The fishermen are not even catching fish anymore. They were catching brown crab until recently. That's collapsed. They were catching pollock until recently. They've been told they're not allowed fish for the pollock anymore. So it's kind of been a downward spiral for them. Most fishermen around the coast now, these small boats, are fishing for lobsters. But, I mean, it's not a sustainable prospect for all of the boats to be fishing one type of species, because what they're faced with now is if anything happens to lobsters, and there are signs that there are, this will leave them with absolutely nothing, which would be a disaster.
Yeah. If an area is designated as a protected area, does that have any force in law, even European law?
Well, it does. I mean, the government will tell you that it's the most stringent type of law that we have. And I think the problem is we have spent very little time and effort enforcing it. I mean, in other European countries, the states have been taken to court for not enforcing it. So the illegal part is not on the part of the fishermen. They're not doing anything illegal, but the illegal part is the state for not implementing the rules. And I mean, this has been proven. Ireland has been in the European Court of Justice to say that we haven't done anything about implementing the Habitats Directive, and there's a long list of this. But I mean, the tragic irony of this is that, you know, by protecting the sea and protecting the sea life, you also protect the livelihoods of the fishermen, and you create, you know, a livelihood that is worth investing in. But the way that things have gone, there's nothing left for anybody.
Yeah. And as you say, the Ireland's been up before because of the Habitats Directive. Does that essentially mean, like, there's not much Europe can really do to force the government to enforce this more rigidly? And so they can kind of forget about it a bit.
Well, I mean, the European Commission is actually very slow to act when members misbehave. Now, we've had a case about the Habitats Directive in general, and Ireland was found to be largely in breach of it, and the state is responding to that. But I mean, I would say it's responding very slowly, and it seems to be more of a paper exercise. I mean, we spoke recently, Sean, about the marine protected areas and the legislation that is due to come in for that, and we've got money from the European Union to do that, 25 million euro, and nobody seems to know what that money is being spent on, because we still don't have any legislation for these marine protected areas. So, I mean, I would say the responsibility for this lies across various departments, and maybe that's part of the problem. But chiefly what we're seeing here now is the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, which is the one that manages fishing, even if it's in these special areas of conservation. They have done absolutely nothing about trying to comply with these laws and so on. They haven't invested in it. And I think that's where the problem lies at the moment.
Yeah, Pádraig, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Pádraig Fogarty there, the environmental campaigner, Vincent at Ocean Ireland, who would know a lot about these things, says, in the early 90s, I worked with a fisherman in West Cork who was using a tangle net. It was carnage. For every kilo of crayfish, we caught 50 kilos of bycatch, which is the term that they used to kind of describe fish that they didn't mean to catch. I left that job rapidly, says Vincent. Dee says, so sad. We completely failed our fishing industry, unlike the lobbying by the farmers. Every government, this is a vital, forgotten industry here. Well, I suppose you could say that kind of shows how good at lobbying farmers are. And somebody else says, kind of maybe a bit unsympathetically, more reasons to go vegan.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.